Matthew 5:16. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Spiritual Signs. Spiritual Signs. Thus saith the Lord, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Before we look at that text, let's take a moment and quiet and ask the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts. Spirit of God, we come to you this morning with this passage, and we ask you to open it up, speak through me directly to your people, if it pleases you. Speak to every heart here. If salvation is needed, we pray you'd bring it. Comfort is needed, we pray you bring it. Or even conviction, we pray you would bring it. Whatever it is you have for us, Lord, give us a heart for it. And help us, Lord, to use it for your glory and our good. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. It doesn't matter where we go in life, we're completely surrounded by signs. Everywhere we look, there are signs. And what are they there for? They're there to guide us. They're there to help us. And they're there to help us make our way through the world. Now, there are different types of signs. There are physical signs, you know, like yield the right of way, no trespassing, welcome, danger, and proceed at your own risk, just to mention a few of them. Physical signs are important, and they're important because they inform us and help us to navigate the rules of our society. We need to have those signs. In addition to physical signs, we're also surrounded by spiritual signs. As I have reminded this congregation many times before, we are more than physical creatures, we are spiritual creatures as well. That absolute truth is found in Paul's benediction to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blamelessly at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the point that he made here is that we are made up of three parts. We're a tripartite being, body, soul, and spirit. The body is the thing we walk around in. The soul is the thing we navigate with. It's our intellect. It's our senses. It's our brain. And, of course, our spirit is that thing that we commune in the spiritual world with. And it doesn't matter whether you're lost or you're saved. Every human soul has a spirit, and it has an eternal destiny. The parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25:46, God himself teaches us that. And he sums up the parable with, and these, speaking of the goats, will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. That's the eternal consequences of the judgment. But while we're here, we must understand that all the spiritual signs that there are, they fill the spiritual realm. They're everywhere. To begin with, every physical act has a spiritual connection. Doesn't matter if you're lost or you're saved. There is a spiritual connection to every physical act. That means every soul, every human being will post spiritual signals every day. You wake up, you put your feet on the side of the bed, and you start posting. Sometimes you post it a sign to yourself. Lord, today I'm going to try to give you 90%. Sometimes you try 100. You may end up with 50, but you start off doing your best. That means every soul will post a spiritual sign every day. So as believers, we understand spiritual things, and because we understand spiritual things, we must be able to read and deal with what these spiritual signs are telling us. They're all around us. We have to read them. It's the only way that we can effectively serve God, reduce anxiety, keep our joy and faith, fight the good fight of faith, and defeat the principalities and powers. If you're not reading the signs, you're not going to be able to do it. And we must learn to be good spiritual sign readers if we want to bear fruit and gain the victory over this life. And it is a battle. The Bible tells us that. This life is going to be a battle. Now, in looking at the irreverent, those people don't care about God one way or another, or the ungodly, every single day they post spiritual signs of evil. They're not saying that. They're not thinking, well, gee, what kind of evil can I do today? But they are doing it. Paul gives us a list of spiritual signs that the ungodly display in Romans 1, 28 through 31. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to those things which are not fitting, being filled. He didn't say they had a little. He said being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful. And that's just a few of them. Those are evil. Those are evil signs. And you see it. You see it in a lost more often than not. All these, everything I just said, everything that Paul wrote, they're all external spiritual signs of really what's in a person's heart. You can't do any of those things unless you have a heart to do it. Matthew 15, 19, God himself declares that the heart is the fountainhead of all sin. He says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. So if it's in your heart, if it's in your heart, as a matter of fact, I'd remind you, if it's in your heart or it's in your mind, and you entertain a thought, you don't even have to commit the act. Matthew 5:28 says that it's a sin. Our Lord reminds us of that. He says, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if you do that in your heart, you don't have to do the act. In God's eyes, you're guilty. It's a sin to do that. Now, you and I know that because we're spiritually in tune with God. But the world doesn't know that. And they still put up those signs, and we see them. And seeing them, we understand them. We understand why people do the things they do. Because we read the signs, we can determine if that person is spiritually in tune with God or not. And if they're not in tune with God, we understand why they're doing it. And to be fair, there are many, many people in this world who live very moral lives. My grandmother was one of them. However, because their heart isn't spiritually regenerated, they're hostile to God. So they post a spiritual sign of hostility against God. Everybody here that's been born again knows that. If you talk to somebody that is not saved and you start talking to them about God or the Bible, they're hostile. They don't want to do it. No, leave me alone. They'll ask you silly questions maybe. Proof verse for that, Romans 8, 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it can't do it. You're dead. People that are not in Christ are dead to God's law. They know it. They can do it because they know that there's a civil law and a criminal law that mirrors God's Ten Commandments. And they're more afraid of that penalty than they are the eternal one, which is the shame. And being hostile to God, when a person is hostile to God, what they do is they raise a sign. It's like a coat of arms. It tells them about who they are, what family they're in. In John 8, 43, 44, and verse 47, Jesus made the distinction between the family of the devil and the family of God. Why do you not understand my speech? He told those who were trying to kill him. Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. I love that stuff. That's absolute. There's no wiggle room, no maybes, no room for gray stuff. He's just telling it the way it is. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. He made the distinction. And in 1 John 3:10, John restates that absolute truth. He says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. In other words, if you're not practicing righteousness, if you're practicing anything except righteousness, you don't belong in God's family. You're not there. Because the Bible says you can't practice sin and still consider that the love of God is in you, because it's not. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the spiritual sign that's seen in the ungodly and irreverent behavior that the irreverent have in feeding their flesh. And even some Christians do this to a degree, but they don't practice it. Galatians 5:19 and 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but look up Galatians 5:19 through 21. These are all fleshly things. And there's one more type of spiritual sign that the lost love to post. They love to put this sign up. It's the religious banner of cults, heretics, and tares. There's nobody, in my view, that hates God more than religious people who take the Bible and the cross and twist it into something that it's not. There's nothing, I think, that's worse that you can do than that. You're making a mockery of it. These spiritual signs that cults and heretics and tares put up, they put it up, they're easy to spot. The only thing you have to do is you have to remove your own personal biases. By that I mean you have to remove the idea, well, I like the people in that church. I like the building. I like the music. I like the fellowship. I like all the programs in the church. To spot counterfeit Christians or a counterfeit church, the first thing you have to do is put away all the biases that's not directly related to scriptural truth. Period. It's the truth, otherwise it's not. I told you, if you take God's word and you quote it, and in quoting it, you dress it up, you powder it up, you twist it a little bit, you make it easier to swallow. Whatever you do to that word outside of saying it exactly the way it is no longer makes it the absolute truth. It's no longer God's word. It's your word. Heretics and cults put up millions of banners that are half-truths, lies, twisted contexts, and more lies. They'll tell you anything you want to hear. They'll tell you anything you want to hear except the truth. The absolute truth. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, Paul describes the doctrine of devils, it's called, which are the spiritual signs that are put up by heresies, by the heretic and cults. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron. What that means is they're so hard, their minds and hearts are so hard towards those things that they think are true, knowing in their heart of hearts that it's never going to change. It's never going to change. Their hearts are hardened. Forbidding to marry. Sound familiar? Commanding to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Those things, we know that certain churches do that. And it's in direct contradiction. It's called the doctrine of devils. Look it up yourself. It's in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 3. And the Apostle Peter also warns the church about the spiritual banners of heresy and their effects. What happens when a church, that's what I was telling Doreen about, when you have a church that is either filled with tares, unbelievers, or a heretic is at the helm. Here's what he says. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. Have we not seen that happen to people? Easily led astray, easily. Time prohibits me from giving you more examples of the spiritual signs that the unsaved put up. But the secret, the absolute secret to discerning any spiritual sign is to key that sign up to this book. You put any of those signs that people are putting up and you compare it to this book, and if it doesn't match up, thumbs down. It's heresy. Anything that's not in this book. And the people who want to say, well, that's your opinion, this is this, that's poppycock. It's not an opinion, it's a fact. It's a biblical fact. Thou shall not means don't do it. You can dress that up any way you want, but that's what it means if you really want the absolute truth. If you do that, if you key it up to the Word of God, you'll have no problems. And I have a proof for 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly complete, thoroughly equipped for all good works. You make the Bible your compass, and you can't go wrong. Now, you may not like doing that because the compass may lead you in directions that your will and your flesh don't want to go, but if you do it, I absolutely guarantee you, it'll never fail you, ever. Now, let me turn the attention. I'm going a little quick because I'm just going a little quick. Now, let's turn our attention to the signs that God gives his elect people. He puts up signs. Every day, we put up signs, don't we? Didn't you guys put up signs today? I did. Every day, believers put up hundreds. You put up hundreds of spiritual signs. However, every one of those signs that we put up, every single one of them, are generated from only one source, salvation. You can't put up the signs we put up unless you're saved. The grace of salvation is the printing house for every spiritual sign an elect child of God displays. It's the printing house, salvation. Proof verse, Ezekiel 36, 26, 27. I will give you a new heart. I put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. That's why you can do it. He gives you enabling grace. I told you, he gives you the fruit of the Spirit. It's in here. All you got to do is turn the buttons on. It's sort of like, go home, put a tea kettle on. If you got an electric stove, put a tea kettle on and don't turn the burner. Watch what happens. Nothing. And the same thing happens with your spiritual gifts. And you're all gifted. You may not feel it, but you are. God gave you the gift of the fruit of the Spirit. All of them, all nine of them belong to you. Not to mention discernment, not to mention all the other things, but just stick with the fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift, but you have to turn them on. You have to yield to them. Our text is a spiritual sign, the text we started with. To the world that testifies that our sovereign God is our spiritual Father. It says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Simple text. That's meat and potatoes simple. And how do we shine our lights in the world? By what I just said. We yield to the fruit of the Spirit. You can't just sit there and say, well, my light's a little dim. Well, why is it dim? Well, I had a bad day today. My joy is down, so my faith is down. So, you know, I'm sort of on dimmer switch here. Hey, you got to crank it up. No, you got to really raise it up. And how do you do that? You believe the book. You grab hold of some verses. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. You got to hold on to those things. The fruit of the Spirit, putting lights into the world, yielding to the fruit. How about love? Love is unconditional. The love that comes with the Spirit, it's unconditional. How do we know that's true? Because you can give that love to a friend or a foe. You can love your enemies. That's not something that somebody unsaved can do. Not only that, love stains all of our outward actions. Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. How about joy? Because the wrath of God has been removed from us, because we have God's promises to help us through life, how can you not be joyful? How? You have a problem? You could be in your car, you could be in church, you could be in the living room, you could be an astronaut in a capsule and just say, Lord, help me. You could be anywhere. And because we have eternal life, because we have that one thing, we're commanded to rejoice. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, he says, I will rejoice. You have no idea what you have. He says, I have not seen nor ear heard the things that I prepared for those that love him. And so all I'm saying is that love, joy, peace, all of it, eternal life. How about Romans 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How about that for a little pick-me-up? And the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. You're given the gift of being patient, long-suffering, kindness. It should be your nature to be kind. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The last one's a little tough, self-control. People have problems with that one the most. But you have the ability. That's the key. You may have to practice it a while, but you do have the ability. These are all spiritual signs that a believer posts every day. Do you not post your love every day? Do you not post your joy every day? Your faith, your kindness, are those not things you do every day? And the world sees those signs very clearly. Why? Because they stand opposed to everything that they display. They're the exact opposite of the signs the world is displaying. Are you doing that? Are you displaying those signs that show your faith? Are you shining your light? And do you have a light? Or do you have a candle? It all has to do with faith and joy. It all has to do with what you use with what he gives you. You know, when we're judged, we're going to be judged for the works that we do. The things that we do, that we produce, the fruit that we make for our Lord, we bring to our Lord. Nowhere can anybody ever go up to God and say, well, you know, you gave me a light that didn't work very well. No. The light works perfect. It's that you chose not to use it the way you should have used it. You got to post some signs. You got to let people see your light. You got to be able to walk in faith. You gotta. No matter what the situation, if it's a piece of property that you're on that doesn't belong to you, if it's a registered letter you get in the mail, I don't care what it is. You got to practice your faith. I tell you this once. I've said it a zillion times, but it's so true. Doctors have a license to practice their trade. Now imagine a doctor that didn't practice but once every 3 months. Would you go to him? If you had a serious medical problem, would you go to a doctor that wasn't practicing his medicine daily? No. Your faith is the same way. You have to practice it every day. It's a thing you practice. It's a thing you use. Because here's why. I don't know if this is a big secret or not, but I don't think so. You're not going to have a Bible, and you're not going to have any of this stuff once you leave here. It's a one-time deal. It's now. Now you have to use it. And it counts now. How do we know that's true? You got to have a fruit basket. So it counts. What you do now counts. And when you get to heaven, it doesn't. It's done. It's sort of like once you leave, we were praying for somebody, once a person leaves this earth, it's all done. Whatever decision you made, that's where you are. Simple. And the same thing applies about your light. How often you shine it, how bright it is. What signs are you posting for the world to see? People go on, I don't know what they call them, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is. I don't use that stuff. But, you know, they post things. They give signs. They give messages. What message are you giving the world? In closing, I'd like to leave you with a few signs that God displays. I'm almost done. First and foremost, his creation is both a physical and a spiritual sign of his sovereignty. Romans 1:19 and 20. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And here it comes. So they are without excuse. That means nobody can stand before God and say, hey, I didn't get the memo. Yeah, you got the memo. You just didn't care about it. You want to read it. Providentially, that's another thing, God, that puts everything that works in your life is providential. There are no accidents. Listen, there's no accidents in a created universe. That's an oxymoron. You can't have luck, chance, or coincidence. You can have all the accidents in the world if you have that theory, but if everything is created down to the last atom, there are no accidents. None. Everything is under the sovereign hand of our God. Proof verse. In John 2 and 3, we have an account of a man who was born providentially blind from birth. You remember the story. So his disciples said to Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. You know what that means? Same thing with the blind guy on Jericho and Main Street. He was just sitting there one day at the exact right time when Jesus would go by, and he'd hear that he was claiming to be the Messiah, and he cried out, Son of David, Son of David. And so Jesus called him, and he healed him because he was there at exactly the right time. And in this passage, in John 9:23, Jesus said his parents didn't sin. He was born blind for God's glory, so that one day when the Messiah would come and he'd be the age that he was, he would cry out to me and I would heal him. I would give him back his sight. That was the whole purpose. There's no accidents. That guy was there because he needed to be there. Jesus said when he found out Lazarus died, and they said, well, we better go. He's sick. And he said, no, he's got to die. There was a reason. Because he had to show the glory of God in raising him from the dead. The woman at the well. I never forget these verses. He said, I must needs go to Samaria. There was a timetable. He had to wait so that he could bring the salvation message to the Samaritans. It's all in the Bible. It's all about providence. Everything. How about confirmations? That's another way. Many people in this church talk about confirmations of things they were talking about, things they were reading, and all of a sudden we're doing it here as well. We see God's spiritual signs is in the confirmation of events or conversations. Which reminds me of a situation that happened this week. I was having breakfast with a couple of sisters from here at church. And I was talking to Carrie, first of all, because she's a caregiver, and we were talking about her situation in life and as a caregiver, and some of the difficulties of being a caregiver, because those that are chronically ill are usually miserable if they're not saved. They don't have any faith. They're angry. And because they're not saved and they're angry, a caregiver has a problem that they have to face. And because my wife, after 6 hours of major surgery, came out with an active hostility towards me, which has not changed at all, I've had to learn to adjust to that. And I told her, I said,